We're going to read some scriptures from Matthew chapter 7. From Matthew chapter 7, start in verse 1. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye may not be judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you. But why lookest thou on the mote that is in the eye of thy brother, but observest not the beam that is in thine eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Allow me, I will cast out the mote from thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine eye? Hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine eye, and then thou wilt see clearly to cast out the mote out of the eye of thy brother. Give not that which is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them with their feet and turning round rend you. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. I want to read again verse 5. Hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine eye, and then thou wilt see clearly to cast out the mote out of the eye of thy brother. Let's pray. Lord, together today we stand as your people and worship you and look away unto Jesus. We just thank you for this time together. Thank you for not leaving us to ourselves. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your precious word. We pray that we can hear from you today. We pray that you would give us revelation in your word. Open up the eyes of our hearts that we can see, we can hear from you in the ears of our hearts. Lord, we pray you would speak to us. We come as your bondmen to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we looked at the topic of discernment, but specifically we looked at discernment unto protection. Discernment for the sake of protection. And this time we want to look at another reason for discernment, which is discernment for the sake of ministry. We said last time that there are two reasons we see in the scriptures, besides our own benefit. There's the Lord gives us discernment for our own protection, and he also gives us discernment to help one another. And I was asked by several to speak slower, so I'll try. I thought maybe it would help if I can share some brief outline initially, because someone else told me that last time they tried to take notes, but they can't take notes and listen because I talk too fast, so I apologize. And what we want to look at is actually to break apart Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5 and 6. Matthew 7, we want to just stay in this area, so this time it's going to be much simpler. We'll stay right here, and we're focusing on discernment, so initially we're going to look at the beginning of discernment. The beginning of discernment. And here we're going to see a couple of prerequisites, two essential things that we need to enter into discernment. Then we're going to look at the whole process of discernment, when we're experiencing discernment, the process of discernment. And there's a couple of principles there in the process of discernment. And finally, we'll look at the end of discernment, which we've already mentioned. These two things, the purpose of discernment, the end of it, what is the result? Why does the Lord give us discernment for the sake of ministry and for the sake of protection? So, starting in verse 1, judge not that you may not be judged. Because I like to share a lot more positively usually, I want to also compare this with the parallel passage in Luke chapter 6, where it says the same thing, very similar, but he sandwiches, judge not that you may not be judged, with two other phrases. One is, be merciful, even as your Father also is merciful. And the second is, condemn not that you may not be condemned. If we take the phrase, judge not that we may not be judged, and put it in that package of being merciful and also not condemning, then we can understand what he's talking about when he says, judge not that you may not be judged. Because the phrase judge, the term judge, in the scriptures, is actually a neutral term. I said this last week that it Judge is not wrong in and of itself. Even condemning judgment is not wrong in and of itself. It depends who is doing it and what the reason is, the circumstance. So as an individual believer, we see that to condemn judgingly is always wrong as an individual believer. We see the phrase judge can be used for condemning, and it can also be used for discerning. Sometimes the scriptures uses that word judge, but it uses it in the sense of a judge passing a judgment. This is good, this is bad, this is wrong, this is right. Also, the word judge is used as being able to judge what is really going on, being able to tell or understand, being able to discern the true situation. We have good judgment. So both of these ways is the way that this term is used. But in verse 1, judge not that you may not be judged. It's not talking about discernment. This time it's only talking about condemning. So the opposite of this type of judgment is mercy. If we are going to have mercy, we can't be condemners. We're a merciful people. As the people of God, we're the merciful people. And it's not our place either to condemn. We looked at verse 5. I read it again. The way that verse 5 starts out, this is an excellent verse. If we could memorize this verse today, this would be wonderful. At least I'd say we can memorize the first word. The first word in verse 5 is hypocrite. If we can do some scripture memory today, I'd like to do that. Just that we can all memorize hypocrite. And let the word of God, we're not calling each other names, remember that. But we let the word of God call us names sometimes. Now hypocrite, this word hypocrite is actually a banner over the first four verses. Just like in Song of Songs, the Shulamite said, his banner over me is love. But when it comes to condemnation and all these things going on in verses 1 through 4, the banner over all of it is hypocrite. So as we look through all of it, we're going to see hypocrite, hypocrite. Let that word just resound in our hearts. And when we start to experience this, or this hypocrite way rises up, we want to let the word of God come in, speak to us and say, hypocrite. Convict us with that word, hypocrite. Because as a believer, we have received mercy. If we have received so much mercy, how can we not be merciful to others? If we have been forgiven of so much, we must forgive others. Otherwise, we're a hypocrite. And the hypocrite in here is like an actor. It's not true. And a hypocrite is like you are playing a part, a false part. You're a hypocrite. You're playing the hypocrite. When we try to be a judge, try to sit down on a throne and judge, then it's as a hypocrite. It's not true. So what the Lord is after is realists, not hypocrites. So for us Christians today, we want to look at it more in the positive side. That one prerequisite for discernment is we must be merciful. We discern in mercy. When we discern, it has to pass through a filter, sort of like an air filter. When the air goes through that filter, all of the rubbish, if you have a good filter, the rubbish will stop. And one filter for us to pass on through must be mercy. It must be forgiveness. If we are seeing something and it's not through the lenses or through the filter of forgiveness, of mercy, then it will turn into condemnation. So we say discernment or understanding something or seeing the situation without merciful eyes is actually condemnation, is actually judging. So unless we are already based on mercy, then we cannot discern. And before a couple months back, we looked at the topic of forgiveness. And in forgiveness, one thing that we saw was that we're forgiven and we're to forgive just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. When we are forgiving, we are not forgiving from our own strength, and it's not a weak forgiveness. It's utter, utmost, complete forgiving and forgetting, because the forgiveness is actually in Christ. And when someone is in Christ and we forgive them in Christ, they are as if they never sinned, because Christ has never sinned against us. So merciful people, in a way, we walk around a bit blind. We walk around with, someone had sunglasses on last night, dark night. I saw someone with sunglasses on. But that's the way we are. Even worse, you know, when you go to the eye doctor, sometimes they put these glasses on you, and at first, they're completely, you can't see anything. Eventually, they lift something up, and then you can see through a little hole, and they want to test and see what lens is good for you. But this is kind of like our way. We need these kind of glasses of mercy, that at first, initially, always our reaction is, I'm a blind one. I don't see anything, because everything is forgiven in Christ. Walk around so merciful. And we'll get to later, mercy does include discernment, but initially, we have to have it clear that when we're going to discern, if we are not being merciful, we will never discern properly, purely. It must be through forgiveness. In verse 2, it says that judge not that you may not be judged in verse 1. But then it talks about with the judgment we are judging, it will be judged back to us. The measure that we're meting, it'll be meted to us. And in Luke 6, it says it's not only meted to us, but it's actually pressed together, shaken together. It's overflowing. So this judgment, it can be like the judgment that's to come. We shall all be put before that judgment seat of Christ, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There is the judgment seat of Christ for believers. If we're not merciful now, the Lord won't be merciful then. This is like the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray. Forgive us as we also forgive others. If you reverse it, it means if we don't forgive others, the Lord will not forgive us. So as a merciful people, not judging, we take this as a warning to us too. That hypocrite will try to rise up. Or we say, hypocrite, apply the cross. Say, hypocrite. The hypocrite will rise up and try to judge. But when we meet the Lord in that day, one thing that will be seen is how merciful of a people were we? How merciful are we all the time to one another? What eyes do we see one another in with the blood of Christ? In a way, as a merciful people, we have bloodshot eyes. Our eyes are full of the blood of the Lord Jesus. When we look around, we might, initially, naturally, we can see many things. But through the blood, our eyes see the blood first. We've been forgiven so much. We can't be merciful unless we have received mercy. So some today, if today we are sitting here and we haven't received mercy today, if we haven't received forgiveness of our sins, it does no good to tell ourselves, I shouldn't judge. All we can do then is muster up, try to bite our lips. But if we've been forgiven, try to look to the Lord right now, that in his light, is there anything not right with me and you, Lord? If you find yourself judging someone else, ask, am I not walking in forgiveness? As soon as you've been forgiven, what is your reaction always? If we walk and we've been forgiven today, we just want to forgive. It's so natural that way. But the hypocrite is like that man in Matthew 18 that we talked about before, a couple months back. This man is just a bondservant. And this bondservant, who owed so much, he went to his fellow bondservant, and he tried to act like he himself could throttle him, get the money out of him, put him into prison, as if he is the judge, but he's a forgiven one. So this is a confusion amongst us. And in verse 3, there's another thing going on top of this. Not only are we judging, but when I look at this phrase, it says, How are we looking? Why are we looking at the mote in the eye of our brother? We don't observe the beam that's in our own eye. Sometimes I feel like we don't think that we judge. We don't think that we condemn. We feel maybe we're merciful. But one way to notice if we are condemning or not, just to say naturally we are going to condemn. This is our way. Unless we have received mercy, we won't give back mercy. But that's the way of mercy. If we've received it, we'll give it back. But naturally, we won't. So naturally, what happens is we look at the mote on the eye of our brother. What I mean is you catch yourself actually staring. Maybe not physically, but you're kind of thinking about it. You're looking on it. Sometimes we don't see that because this is an inward thing. But the fruit of the inside will come out through the mouth. So the fruit of condemnation is gossip. When we gossip, inside, we're judging, and outside, we're gossiping. So sometimes we catch ourselves. When gossip comes out, all of a sudden, oh, I must be judging. This is an automatic. If we find that we are just talking, what are we doing? We're looking at the mote in the eye of the brother. So the gossip is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. But the Lord says in Matthew 12 that every idle word which men shall say, they'll render an account of it to the Lord on judgment day. And this is the way with gossip. Gossip is a form of judgment, not being merciful. But this is hard with us when we're talking about discernment, because sometimes a gossip will look very similar to something being shared with someone for actually a purpose of discernment. Sometimes there has to be some sharing with someone else for the sake of protection or for the sake of ministering, just like with discernment. But what is the difference? The difference is on the inside. When we are gossiping, what is our purpose of gossiping? What is our reason that we're talking about this person with someone else? We can ask ourselves that often. We find ourselves just wanting to talk about what's going on or something that's happening. And inwardly, we don't feel the same way that the Lord feels for that person. If sometimes you do have to share, rarely, sometimes you may have to share with someone what's going on. There's a sorrow in our hearts. There's a sadness. There's a presence of the Lord. But sometimes when we share, we start to be even happier as we share about someone who's doing worse. I don't understand completely, except that sometimes it builds us up in a false way. We feel like, I'm doing okay because look what that one's doing. Or other times when we're talking about someone else, I don't know, except that we just feel good to talk about people. In the world, they say that, as Christians, we say that unbelievers like to talk about the weather, but Christians like to talk about each other. You know that? And when we get together with Christians, sometimes it's a danger. What happens is we start to talk about other people. Christians, this is not our way. Christians like to talk about or share Christ. Christians like to share Christ. But the hypocrite inside likes to share about other people. So when this starts to happen, when we catch ourselves doing this kind of thing, we catch ourselves doing a gossip, looking, observing at the mote that's in the eye of our brother, we just want to recognize what this is. This is not mercy. Instead, we need to see, am I being in mercy? What is my reason for talking to this person? Is this unto some point, or am I just talking for the sake of talking? And a gossiper is not only the one who's speaking, but a gossiper is the one who's hearing as well. I think we all know this, that gossip is stopped if you cut it off. And this is hard to do. It seems like you will lose some friends. It seems like if you have to stop someone from talking mid-sentence, it's so rude. But sometimes you just have to do it by God's grace, but in a merciful way. We can't be those who are judging others who are judging, right? It's a big circle. Then you stop someone, you say, no, you're just gossiping. And then all of a sudden that person says, are you judging me for gossiping, for judging someone else? I say, are you judging me for judging you? See what I'm saying? We can't do that either. So whenever we see, even if someone else is condemning, is judging, is doing anything like this, is gossiping, what do? We react with mercy. Never condemn someone who's condemning others. This is harder, but this is just natural. This is the way of Christ. We forgive. But sometimes, even in forgiveness, because we discern the situation, we see, this actually doesn't feel right. Inside, this doesn't feel good. We just say, I really don't want to talk about this right now. Maybe this is unnecessary to talk. So as a Christian, our ears become like a bottomless pit or like a black hole in the universe. Something comes in, you never see it again. We might hear something, we might be in a place, we recognize something, we might even discern, spiritually discern, a situation. But as a merciful people, no one else will hear about it. No one else will know about it. Normally, most circumstances. It's not that it comes in, or it comes in through our eyes, we see something, and then we talk right about it. Instead, it's like the black hole. Everything is coming in. We don't know where things are going. Some people, you know that you can confide in them. You can talk, you can share, you can come to them for help. They won't turn around and talk to some other ones about your situation. This is a rare believer. It's a shame to us, but this is the way that the Lord wants to encourage us to walk in. Praise the Lord. If we will go forward in this way of discernment, we will be a merciful people. We will be ones that are like black holes with the things that come to us. We can hear so much, but we can give it right back to the Lord and forget about it. We forget about it as if they never even told us. It's very merciful, the Lord's way. If we don't pass through this way, if we don't have this way of mercy, we can't move on to discernment because we're not trustworthy. The Holy Spirit can't entrust us because we right away will blab about something. And what so-called discernment we might have would definitely not be spiritual discernment. At least it won't be pure discernment. The purifying work will be mercy. And it also says that we're looking at this mote, but we are not observing the beam in our own eye. We're looking at this piece of sawdust in someone's eye, but we don't see that we got a big log in our own eye. And in this way, another essential prerequisite for discernment is that we must discern in meekness. We must discern, as a discerning people, we must know that we ourselves are weak and frail and just as everyone else. We must be those that, even though we might see something, we recognize that we are the ones who have had beams in our own eyes. Even though the Lord may show some speck of dust, some speck of sawdust in someone else's eye. For our own case, we recognize, I've been forgiven so much. I've been forgiven way more than this one. I am the chief of sinners. This is our attitude. This is our way of going. Just like we said last week, to approach someone, if the Lord, after praying for them, you have to approach them even, to go to restore a brother. You do it in meekness, in humility, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We know that we are just the same. We are just as weak, and we can also fail. In this way, to go in that way, we don't come in a judgmental way, which is haughty, proud, arrogant. We might see something and we come all proud. And we come and we, in almost with a smirk on our face, do you know that you're doing this? Do you see that this is going on? We're almost enjoying the fact that someone else is messing up because maybe it makes us feel better. Maybe we can see it. But the problem is we're blind to ourselves. We don't really know that we have a log in our own eye. And when you go to someone like that, what's going to happen? I was talking to a young man today. He has a black eye. And he said he hit himself with a baseball bat and got a black eye. Now, if we have a beam in our eye, sometimes we hit ourselves too because we don't know what we're careless. But especially if we try to go to someone not already being dealt with, if we try to go to someone all haughty, we're going to hit them in the eye with our own beam. This is the problem with our own natural discernment. You go, but you've got so many problems yourselves as you go to try to help someone. Even though, thank the Lord, maybe you're trying to help, but because you haven't recognized, I myself first have to be dealt with. I myself first need to be helped by the Lord. Because we don't recognize this, we're knocking each other in the head. We're knocking them down. We go to help, but actually we poke their eye out. Because we can't see so clearly. There's this big log in the way, and we're trying to reach around it, and we hurt them. When I was a kid, I remember one time my mother was taking a splinter out of my hand. My mother doesn't see so good, so she had a needle, and the hole that was left was so big, and it hurt. I never let her do it again. But later, as a teenager, I remember my dad doing it one time. Now, my dad's a medical doctor, and he was wearing his glasses. And he got in there, and he took it right out, and it was no problem. This is what it is. We need to not be going naturally, arrogantly, proudly. We'll hurt someone. And how do we even know that we can see correctly? Because there's a beam in our own eye. We have some oak wood. We think we see there's some oak wood in that person's eye. But maybe it's just like their eye is reflecting, you know, and we just see our own case. Sometimes that happens because we don't know what's really underneath the case. We don't know what's really happening. These are our prerequisites. This is the beginning of discernment. If we don't have these things, we can't move on. But having these things, we're going to look at what is actually the procedure of discernment. What are the principles that we need when we go to actually discern? And it moves on saying how, hypocrite, cast out first the beam that is in your eye. The first thing that we need to look at, first principle with discernment, is that discernment cannot be natural discernment. It must be spiritual discernment. Natural discernment, like we just said, we're going to hurt the other person, and we can't even see clearly. But spiritual discernment is going to come from the Holy Spirit. So all discernment must only come through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. We said before that forgiveness is always in Christ, but discernment is always by the Holy Spirit. We don't, remember, we have these glasses on. We don't want to see anything except that the Holy Spirit lifts up and allows a little window. Because when he does it for a purpose. When the Holy Spirit reveals us something, he reveals it to us for a certain reason. So in this verse, it says, cast out first the beam that is in thine eye. I want to take something from this, just saying that really we ourselves have a beam in our eye. And this is why we cannot naturally discern. There is natural ways of discerning. You can go to school for it. You can take some classes. You can read people's postures and things that they do. You can read the way that they handwrite. Maybe you can tell something about them, I guess. I mean, if you write very hard, maybe it's an angry person. I don't know. And from facial expressions or the way someone stands or the way that they walk, sometimes in psychology or in trying to observe people, you can naturally try to pick up some things. But in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2, 14 and 15, it says that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Spiritual things that the Lord wants to show us have to come in the Spirit, have to come deep within. It can't just come in our mind. But it says the spiritual man discerns all things, because the way of discernment is spiritual. And then it says that the spiritual man is discerned of no one. Now, this is where I think the natural discernment can come into a fault. Naturally, maybe we can discern something, how people do and how animals react and how people react, kind of like that. But when it comes to a Christian, all of a sudden, people have a harder time, because a Christian is led by the Spirit. They have a whole nother thing inside. They have a whole nother way about them. So a spiritual man cannot be discerned. This is one part of it, I mean. A spiritual man, because they're being led in a whole nother way. They might be sitting a certain way, but you have no idea what's going on. And they might do something that someone else is doing, you think you know, you understand their circumstance. But only the Lord is going to know. Even our natural discernment is limited. So as Christians, we lay that down. We don't want to go into that. We don't want to go into psychic powers and trying to read minds or anything like that. Why do that? Even that's so limited. But the Holy Spirit searches the hearts, searches the minds, knows everything. And he won't give us too much. If the Holy Spirit gives it to us, shows us something, it's actually for a reason. So this is why we only want spiritual discernment. So this discernment is by the Holy Spirit. When it's hard to talk about it except to move on and to talk also that we have to receive dealings. Because this second principle in here, it says cast out first the beam that's in your own eye. These two really kind of go together always. If it's by the Holy Spirit, we're also receiving dealings. So the second principle needed for this way of discernment or this process of discernment is that spiritual discernment is we discern out of our own dealings. We be dealt with first, and then we can discern. Discernment comes from having been dealt with. Discernment comes from having been dealt with. And remember that before the Lord, in and of ourselves, we cannot discern ourselves, right? So Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I don't examine myself, nor do I care about man's own examination or man's day of examining me, but actually it's the Lord who will judge. And on that day, he'll make known everything, even the secrets of our hearts. But later on in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, he said, examine yourselves. The same word, examine. In a way, discern yourselves. So these are not contradictory. These are not opposite to each other. The one is, we don't examine ourselves by ourselves. But the second is, we do examine ourselves before the Lord. We can be examined before the Lord. So in Jeremiah 17:9, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things. If we try to examine ourselves, we are like a hypocrite, trying to play as if we understand. But we just go around in circles like a dog chasing its tail. It's very funny, but it's no profit. And that's the way we look. We get confused. Have you ever done this where you sit there and you're thinking, did what I just say, was that wrong? And you start to reason in your mind, maybe that was wrong, maybe was it right? And maybe because that person looked down, maybe this was wrong or something like this. We get so confused. So the heart can deceive us. It's incurable. Who can know it? That's the question in Jeremiah 17:9. Who can know our heart? And the answer is actually in Psalm 139. Say, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Who can know the heart? Only God can know our heart. But when it comes to examining ourselves before the Lord or being dealt with by the Lord, when it comes to receiving from the Holy Spirit, what is our condition? It has to be that we come to the Lord himself. We say, search me, O God. This is a prayer that we pray often. Search me, O God, and show my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. When we do this, in his light, we actually can see. So there's a Psalm 36, verse 9 says, with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Not in our own light. Our own light is darkness. But in his light, we can see light. So this is needed to understand when we come to the Lord, come before the Lord. This is like a symmetry involved here. When we're going to be discerned by the Lord, it's in his light that we are being discerned. Only in his light. Now match that when we go to discern someone else. Look at they match like a mirror. When we go to discern someone else, it can only be in the light of God. If we discern before the Lord, if he discerns us only by the Holy Spirit in his own light, which is according to truth, God can judge truly. When we discern someone else, it has to be in the same way. We should match these two things. It has to only be by the Holy Spirit. And so when we go to the Lord, this light is actually the light of the life. Just like in John 1, it says, "He in him was life, and that life was the light of men." That life that we're living by, the Holy Spirit, we live by the Holy Spirit, we walk in the Holy Spirit. When we're doing this, it shines light on all that is dark. It shines light on all that's not of Christ. So this process of discernment, what's going on is we're actually living by the Holy Spirit. As we're doing this, the Holy Spirit, in and of ourselves, he's exposing the things that are of darkness. And this is going to apply on as we go to discern someone else. It's only going to be by the Holy Spirit. When we come to the Lord, sometimes, in 1 John chapter 1, sometimes it's an inward exposing, because we're living by that life. As we grow, we walk in the light, but God is light. But as we are walking, increasing, maturing, in that light, he's showing us more. The more he exposes on our path, he's like a lamp unto our feet, right? He just gives us that little bit that we can walk a little further towards God as light. There's the full measure of the glory of God. But we're just walking in that way. We're walking towards that. So he gives a little bit of light unto our feet. Shines a little bit. This is darkness. And he always shows both things. He doesn't just show you how wretched you are. He also shows you how wonderful Christ is. So when he shows darkness, he exposes it with light. And light has some reality to it. We were sharing the gospel with a man who was a Buddhist, and he was very interested in the opposites with darkness and light and heat and cold and things like this. But actually, there is a difference, because he said, you can't have a God without an evil. But with light, the darkness is only absence of light. The only thing that's real, when we come to light and darkness, light is what's real. Darkness is just when there's not light. Same with, I'm told in, at least in high school chemistry or high school science, that heat is something real, but cold is when there's not heat. Anyway, with the Lord, it is that way. He is real. He's according to truth. And when his life is living, it's real. But he exposes what's not real. And then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. Washes away the darkness. So inwardly, we're doing this. Outwardly, also, the saints, we have fellowship with saints. Maybe we read a good book. Maybe we hear a message. Maybe we're talking with someone, and all of a sudden what they share, we realize, ooh, that's Christ, and that's not what I'm doing. You know what I mean? You talk with some people you don't like to talk to, because it always seems like that. As they share, the more they share, you're like, oh, this hurts, stop. But praise the Lord. If we want to walk in the light, let us fellowship more with those who are walking in the light. The more we fellowship with them, the more the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. In 1 John 1, 7, it says that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And in real fellowship, it says that we have fellowship with one another, and then the blood cleanses us. This might seem that the order is wrong, but actually, the order in that case is actually true. The order is, as we fellowship with one another, the light increases. Then the blood washes clean. So our light is increasing as we stand before the Lord to be discerned by the Lord. He's growing. He's maturing, showing us more and more. Little bit at a time, a lamp unto our feet, not a spotlight showing everything. If he showed everything, that light, we would be burned away. But he shows us a little bit and then more and more as it goes. Sometimes he uses circumstances too. From above, the Holy Spirit is working, arranging our circumstances. It's that we have this log in our eye, but you think you've got 10 feet until you get to the wall. But somehow, 15 feet away, you stop. You get hit, and it hurts you. And that board pushes back into your head. I hope that doesn't sound bad. What I mean is, because we've got a log in our eye, we're walking around this world, and all of a sudden, things start to hurt us. Things, circumstances start to come at us and knock us around until we actually realize, something must be in my eye. This thing hurts. Whenever I walk this way, it always hurts. Then it's exposed. So the Holy Spirit is arranging our circumstances, dealing with us. He is doing it. Because he sees the full light of God. We only see the little bit that we've got. We should be faithful with what we've got. But he's always bringing us further and further. So as he brings us on and further with light, he knows what to do. And he knows our way, and he knows what we can handle, and he knows what we can't handle. So that's why that's all up to God. It's all up to him arranging our circumstances. We can't try to make our own way better that way, but we can be faithful with what he's shown, with what he has shown us. Sometimes if we fall, sometimes if we mess up, to walk in the light, we have to come and confess and turn back. Sometimes we do sin, and the Lord convicts us. He puts the word in our heart, and he says, "You have sinned." And then we just confess our sins. And because God is faithful and righteous, he forgives us. He cleanses us. This is a principle with discernment that we want to parallel it. We want to actually make a symmetry out of it, a mirror image, that as we are going before the Lord in that way, the discernment is coming by the Holy Spirit. It's coming in his light. It's not that you stand before the Lord, get discerned, get the log out of your eye. Then you go to your brother outside of the light and you try to take something out. As soon as you step outside of the light, your log comes right back. But as we are standing in the light of the Lord, as we're standing before the Lord in his presence, having been dealt with by the Lord, then we can go to our brethren and we can help them. We can stand in the light and help. Because we've had the oak log dealt with, now we not only are an expert in oak, the sin of oak, but we actually know how to get it out. But see how big our part is and how little theirs is. The Lord is only showing us a speck of dust, a little bit of oak dust. But we have to deal with a whole log with ourselves. And this is a true principle. When the Lord is going to use us for discernment, the measure that he works on us is much more than what measure he might use for someone else. We should be ready for this. So Paul would say, death works in us that life would work in you. If you feel like I'm going through unnecessary hard times, it seems like, this is beyond what's normally needed for my own spiritual life. Lord, what is going on here? Probably the Lord is dealing with us a little further. That way we can help others. He not only deals with us for our own benefit. He actually deals with us to help other people. So when we are discerned before the Lord, praise the Lord. He doesn't let us go just as soon as we might experience some dust taken out of us. But he's going to deal with us so thoroughly that when we come, we might actually be usable. And in this way, when we have been dealt with, we come in humility, we come in meekness, we come in mercy, and we can come and see clearly. It says in verse 5, then you will see clearly. Then we will see clearly. If we don't go in that way, we won't see clearly. Actually, sometimes you go, the Lord will give us discernment for ministry, but he only gives it to us to pray. Most of the time, probably with most of us, he might show us 10 things. We start to pray. We might only help the person with one thing, not all 10 things. And sometimes we pray from afar. Sometimes the person comes to us. Maybe they come to ask questions or to come and ask for some help. Sometimes even after praying, the burden is so big that we must go to that brother or sister. We must go and help just to share something with them. In any case, right at the experience, right as we are sharing with someone, these two things must be going on. Even if we don't know what's wrong with us, we have to come to the Lord immediately and say, Lord, cleanse me with your precious blood. Lord, don't let me stand here and be in darkness. Don't let me stand here and try to help someone in my own light. If there's anything I don't even know about, cleanse me. Search me, O God. At the same time, in our downtime, walking, we receive dealings from God. But as soon as you're trying to help someone, there's a dealing right at that moment. The dealing that's going on is we cannot have our own heart, our own thoughts, all in the way. This is a definite cross. Some people cannot listen. We cannot listen because right that moment when someone is talking, we won't clear the way to just listen. Instead, as soon as they're talking, we start to think of maybe what we're going to share next. Maybe we start to think of something else, like, oh, I've got to go do the dishes or something like this. Our mind is wandering around. It takes a definite dealing right that moment to make a blank slate. If they come and talk, you just listen to all of it. As soon as we're listening, because we want to discern. And we want to discern by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is shining. The Holy Spirit is shining, and the light is right there. But as this is going on, we can't have anything else going on. We have to really be blank slates. This is something that is not natural to do, especially if in our downtime we have our minds wandering around. You know, sometimes we go to read the Bible, and we say, I can't get past one chapter. Because I've read this, and then all of a sudden my mind is over here, and this connects to this, and I have such a wandering mind. I'm struggling to read the Bible. We can pray before we read the Bible. Sometimes the Lord will just give us a special grace. But really the problem is, in our normal time, normally as we're walking, our mind is wandering. We're walking here, walking there, going about the day. We don't have our mind on things above. We don't actually control our mind. We don't think what we want to think. We just let our thoughts go wild. And so, of course, when we sit down to be quiet in the Bible, then our thoughts are going wild. And of course, when someone comes to listen, when someone comes to share, and we're to listen, we don't actually listen. This is an experience, especially of young people. Young people, one big complaint that always comes is, the older ones don't listen to us. I don't know if you heard this complaint. But I think I know what happens, maybe. Because when you're a little kid, your mom is doing something, and you come and tap her, mommy, 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 mommy. And the mom, because the kids are talking so much all the time, they just have to learn how to do one thing while the kids are also talking and trying to get their attention. I don't know if it's this or what, but sometimes when a young person comes, not many adults will sit there, look at them, listen, and purely listen. Immediately you want to rise up and say and correct them. Immediately you want to hurry up and do something, or dismiss what they're saying, or think lightly of what they're saying. But if we can be like a blank slate, if we can listen and receive everything, then the Holy Spirit will rise up and give us discernment. Then the Holy Spirit will come to us, will show us, this is where to help. This is what to do. First time I met someone who was listening in that way, I just think it's very rare, such a good listener. I didn't know what to do, because I'm talking, all of a sudden I realized, this person is listening. In a way that they're listening so much that they pulled the words out of me, it seemed like. There was nothing else going on with them. They weren't waiting, yeah, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. They weren't doing any of this. Instead, I came to talk, and this person is listening so much, I started to realize, I better watch what I'm saying. Normally, I don't have to watch what I'm saying so much because they're not really listening. I got to push it through. But this case, the person was soaking it in. And everything was exposed before them. They knew my fumblings around. They knew everything that was going on. This is the way of discernment, spiritual discernment. If we're going to come right at that moment of spiritual discernment, it has to go through the cross. It has to be a cross experience right that moment. We're looking to the Holy Spirit. We're looking in the light that He would give us discernment. And then right at that moment, too, we have to deal with ourselves that only Christ, we can just listen in Christ. We can do this by God's grace. He says that, then you will see clearly to cast out the mote out of the eye of your brother. Also in verse 6, then that's that part where it talks about give not the holy things or the pearls to dogs or pigs. We're not going to look at that, except that because we looked at it last week, that there's a protection reason. But first, there's also this reason for ministry. And just to mention again that discernment is actually for a purpose. We do not judge. We're not judging people. But when the Lord gives us discernment, it's actually for a reason. So this is something we can question all often. When we see something, we can say, Lord, is this from you? Is this from your spirit? Is there some reason for this? I see something. This happens. You can just question. Just ask. Pray to the Lord. You start to see something, start to pray. We might not know inwardly to tell the difference. Is this by the Spirit? Is this my own mind? Am I just feeling? Just start to pray. You see something, just pray for that one. You cannot go wrong. Is that if as you're praying, you're stopped, you feel like, okay, there's no need to pray for this. I just need to be merciful. Then just forget about it. But if as you're praying, it rises up inside of you, there's a prayer rising up inside of you, you start to have the burden for them. This is for ministry. And it might be that you have a ministry of prayer. It might be more than that, but at least the Lord's given us some ministry. I don't know if this topic really seems to apply. I was praying about it, that it seems to me that discernment is only for a purpose. And maybe one problem is we don't actually care sometimes. Maybe we don't really want to minister to one another. I don't know if it's that because we enjoy the mercy, we enjoy not confronting anyone, not losing any friends, not being difficult, We don't enjoy the time it takes to spend helping someone. But if we can see that the beauty of this purpose of discernment, we will ask the Lord, increase us in spiritual discernment. Increase our measure. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says that solid food is for the mature ones. Milk is for the immature ones. Meat is for the mature. The immature are handling the word of grace. But the mature are handling this word of righteousness in Hebrews 5. But it says there, these mature ones, on account of habit, they've actually exercised themselves. Their senses, their spiritual senses have been exercised to be able to discern, to be able to tell what is good, what is evil. These ones are growing in maturity. Our measure of spiritual discernment depends on our measure of spiritual life. As we grow and are discerned before the Lord, that's the measure that we'll be able to discern before one another. Actually, it's the measure that the Lord might use us to help one another. Real love for one another, we actually want to help one another. Sometimes we don't want to grow spiritually ourselves. But you know, when you have a friend, when you have a brother or a sister in the Lord, and you feel the responsibility upon you. If you've ever had a new believer come to you for help, if you've ever had led someone to the Lord, help them come to the Lord, it's like a parent with a little baby. Many immature parents have kids. But most of the time, something that happens is, as soon as they have kids, all of a sudden some maturity happens. All of a sudden, though for themselves, they may waste away their days partying and doing other things. All of a sudden, now with this baby, they say, I dare not do all that now. I've got a responsibility. And we see people grow up really quick. I think something that stops us from growing sometimes is not caring for one another. One time, this is something that stops us from sharing the gospel. We don't see the real situation. It also stops us from helping the saints if we don't see the saints falling away. If you've had some saints come through and you've seen them fall away, you've seen that the saints really, you know one that you care for so much, and then this one just goes away, even apostatizes or goes after the world or does something else. If you won't grow spiritually for your own sakes, will we grow spiritually for the sake of helping others? If we won't care for the Lord's sake, if we won't care for just pleasing the Lord purely, if we have such an impure heart, but when we see someone falling by the wayside, will we go and say, Lord, I must consecrate myself fully to you. I want to pay the price that it costs to help someone else. I want to pay the price. If it costs me this much, I want to pay that price. I don't want to just let this happen. One time I saw my best friend from the school days in a coffin, and I said, Lord, I want to pay the price to effectively preach the gospel. And I just failed in that case. And it was just that I had the burden and leading to go share with him, and I didn't do it. I said, 4 more months. 4 more months, and I'll go do it. When the time is right, let me learn some new verses. Let me pray enough times that it's so overwhelming. And have a believer just apostatize from the faith. Other ones I know that just fall away from the Lord. Do we care for this purpose of ministering to one another? If we care, we will receive the dealings and pay the price. Even if we feel, who am I? We can pray. If we start to grow, we can pray. If we start to grow, the Lord might show us something. You might be the more immature one, and he shows you something for someone who's even more mature. But he has you to pray. You might not go to correct, but you might pray. And spiritual discernment is so needed, not only for our protection, not only for our own growing, but for one another. We really love one another. And he says in verse 7, ask, seek, knock. In a way, this is another subject, but I think it flows really well right after discernment. Because in discernment, the whole way through and through is through prayer. Also, when we look at this, we say, this is too much. How can we do this? Only by God. He's able to do it, so we have to come to him and pray. If it's that we need to be merciful, we need to pray. You have an enemy, pray for your enemies, the Bible says. Pray, and in your prayer, forgive them in Christ. Just by God's grace, don't muster it up. Just say, I forgive them even though I don't feel it. I forgive them. We must come mercifully, and we pray that way. All the way through, the banner over discernment is prayer. The banner over condemnation is hypocrite. But the banner over discernment is prayer. All the way through, you can see The process, the way through is always with prayer. As we're praying, we're coming to the Lord. Prayer shows that we depend on the Lord. Prayer shows that we can't do this by ourselves. We come to the Lord and we pray, search me. Deal with me. Increase my spiritual life, Lord. Search me. And then, as the Lord is searching us, then we can also look to the Lord. And if we see something, if the Lord brings something up, we can say, Lord, is this from you? Is there some reason you're showing me this? And we can start to pray for our brethren. If we pray for them, I just think the more wins are praying for each other, the more ministering will be going on. Because ministry must come out from being ministered by the Lord. And it must come out from dependence on the Lord. If we are growing in the Lord, we have a supply. It might take you 4 hours with the Lord to spend 1 hour with a saint. But thank the Lord, this is the way it works. If the deeper our dealings go, the more we're able to help. And here we have different groups. Sometimes I feel that if two or three would rise up and make mention of everyone in their group every day, if just a few would do it in every single group, our geographical groups, what a difference it would be. How many would be left out then? If everyone who comes on Sunday, no one is left out. Everyone is being prayed for by someone, maybe even more than a few. If everyone is being prayed for, then those who are praying, the Lord might give them discernment. At least they might be contacting them. Have you ever prayed for someone, then when you see them, you just smile a lot. You pray for them, all of a sudden you really like them. When you pray for them, when you see them, you just want to share with them. You're kind of excited. I've been praying for them. You might not tell them that. You don't always tell people that you're praying for them, but sometimes you're just like, you shake a hand, and you see somebody shaking your hand, you know, oh, that one must be praying for me. They're just, the Lord does something. In prayer, it touches two sides. First, it touches us. Then it touches them. It all goes through the Lord. We pray to the Lord. He sends the prayer back down and cuts us up. You pray for them for this. What about your log? You know, as we start to pray, we get dealt with. Also, as we pray to the Lord, we receive our dealings, and then the Lord will answer our prayer, and he'll touch the other person. But with this matter of prayer all the way through, if it's going to be for ministry, we pray through. Most of our ministry is through prayer. Then the Lord might lead us on to something else. I want to just grab one quick principle from this other verse about the not casting pearls before the swine, or not giving holy things to dogs. There is that discernment to know the situation and know how much to share. Now, as a believer, when we fellowship with each other, the Lord will give us discernment. We also need discernment for the sake of knowing how much to share. When we discern, if you see 100 things, don't share all 100. It has to go through that filter of the Lord. He will show you what to share. Because only he knows. He knows how much someone can handle. When we're in a Bible study group, sometimes we discern the situation. We don't always share the full measure of what we've been going through. Sometimes maybe you can with some people, sometimes not. But you can share Christ. And Paul did this in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. He says that he did share with them, but he shared with them on a certain level. He shared with them what they needed. But he said, there is a mystery, there is wisdom. There is this mystery that we speak, but only amongst the mature. And because you're so carnal, I want to focus on what you need right now. Right now, you need the message of the cross. Right now, it's Christ and him crucified. But as one's mature, he might share more. It's according to the level of where we're at. And when we discern, we need to know this also. Maybe we get 10 things, but we pray for all. But maybe we only share one or two. This is like if someone, a new believer, shares in a meeting. Maybe you see, oh, he did about 5 things wrong. You pray for him. You see, all of it was shown to you by the Holy Spirit because you're just abiding in Christ. But when you go to him, if you share all 5 things, he'll never open his mouth again. You know, you'll crush him. So when we're helping someone, share according to the Lord's leading, but just what he shows you to share. Not everything. So the young preacher goes to the older preacher and asks for some help. If the older preacher shared all 100 things that he sees, the young preacher won't get up again. It's overwhelming. This is like God shining his light. We need to learn the symmetry. God shines his light, but he only shines the degree that we can handle. But God's light would wipe us out. This is the way. So the Lord gives us wisdom in this way. So I just want to pray that the Lord would encourage us today to be a merciful people, and through mercy we have discernment. Through mercy and discernment, we really care for one another. That the Lord would build us up together, mature us ourselves, and we mature one another. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you and just come and confess that by ourselves we cannot see clearly. All our discernment is rubbish. We look to you, Lord, then. You would mature us spiritually. Show us that inward way of walking. Show us this way, Lord, that as we are walking by the Spirit, maturing in the Spirit, we can see and receive from the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray, don't hold back on us that we don't receive the dealings from above. Don't hold back on us that we won't cast out the log that's in our own eyes. Lord, we pray today if there's anything going on with us, if there's some log, some beam that's in our eye that's keeping us from fully filling up the measure of ministry that you've given to us, if there's that one thing or that two things in our own lives that's stopping us from serving you, Lord, we pray right now, search our hearts and expose it and show it to us. Lord, we pray right now, don't let us, through neglect, fail to minister to your people. We pray, don't let us neglect this way. Discern us, Lord, that we can be usable in your hands, be usable to discern others by your grace. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We just come and plead the precious blood, that even as you're showing us things, that you would cleanse us with that precious blood. We turn to the light and away from darkness. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.